This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
La ilaha illallah.
Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah's peace and blessings be on each and every one of you. I'd like to welcome you, dear viewers, to another in our series, The Best of Tawheed. In this series, we're looking at the best evidence used to establish the Islamic understanding of Tawheed, of unique monotheism. The explanations of the Quran and the Sunnah give us the guidelines by which to understand Allah and to understand our relationship with Him. On what basis should that relationship exist? So, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave us a number of clarifying statements which gave the background understanding of this general subject of the oneness of Allah mentioned throughout the Quran. We have been looking at the most important aspect of Tawheed, and that is Tawheed al-Ibadah, maintaining the unity in our worship of Allah. That as we worship Him, we don't shift in that worship to duality, as in the case of the Zoroastrians who had a God of good and a God of evil, nor do we give Allah's attributes to His creation, as some among the Hindus claim that they are God-men, avatars, meaning that they are God incarnate on this earth. Of course, Christians, they made this claim, but it was only once, in the case of Prophet Jesus, that He was in fact God incarnate as His own Son. So we, in terms of our worship, direct worship only to Allah alone. He is the only one deserving our worship. Regardless of the attributes we may give to Allah's creation, elevating it to certain statuses, as people have done with various idols, etc. But still, those idols, those false objects of worship, cannot provide, protect, take care of, defend, etc., human beings. That's the reality. So, based on the fact that the false gods that are worshipped are not able to do any good for human beings or to prevent any evil, then on the basis of that, they should be rejected. And true worship of God alone is limited to Him alone. There are no intermediaries between ourselves and God. Now, that doesn't mean that a person may not say to a friend of his, make prayer for me. Or in your prayers, when you're praying, you know, don't forget me in your prayers. These are legitimate statements, which is different from people who may seek others to pray in order to carry their own prayers, that is the person's prayers, to God, where that person becomes an intermediary capable of taking our prayers to reach God. Now, what we were looking at in our previous segment was part of the rationale which this concept is based on. I mean, they've drawn from a variety of different sources. But one of the sources is the concept of intercession, that God the Son, or in the case in Islam, prophets, or maybe angels, martyrs, etc., have the ability to intercede on behalf of the dead, or even on behalf of the living. This belief is a false belief, not found in any authentic text, but deduced from other religious tracts, which are from Christianity or many of its various branches. So, the basic principle we took from the verse, this is a part of the verse, of what was known as Ayatul Kursi, or the verse of the throne, or more accurately, it should really be the verse of the footstool. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. Who can intercede on behalf of others to him except by his permission? This only takes place with his permission. So the people who are interceding are not free agents capable of interceding at any time, at any moment, as they wish and as they will. So people who were destined for hell are removed from the process, taking them to hell. Those destined for paradise may be removed and taken on to hell. These types of things happening can only take place by the permission of Allah. Just as in this world, nothing takes place without His permission, similarly, in the world to come, nothing will take place without His permission. So, the authentic text, in them we find texts where different acts of exorcism are to be done. The Roman ritual used by the Roman Catholic Church is an example of such a text. You know, others may use their other holy texts or holy objects, which they will use as a means of justifying the use of their powers for intercession. So, having understood that, we have to understand that the whole process of intercession itself, as we mentioned before, the whole process of intercession is really only Allah giving the power to certain individuals to take out of the hellfire because He had already Himself decided that they should come out. So you find the verse which supports that. وَلَا يَشْفَعُونَ إِلَّا لِمَنِ اتَّضَى. They cannot intercede except for him with whom Allah is pleased. So if Allah is not pleased with the individual, what it's saying here is that intercession will be of no benefit. And that is important, because if it is that intercession will benefit the dead as a general principle, all of the dead will be benefited from intercession, then people would feel that they could obtain intercession at will. So as long as they leave money behind when they die, that people will be hired to recite the Quran, for example, or to do other religious acts. They will continue to do this and ask Allah to take the refuge, which they have done it for, take the refuge as sadaqah from themselves, you know, something which should earn them reward with Allah. So we understand this is in accordance with principles which Allah has laid. It's not just a free-for-all, anybody can come, as some people might have thought. So intercession is according to the will of Allah for those who Allah has already decided will go to paradise. That's how the intercession works. But for the common person, what he sees is certain individuals, prophets, angels, etc., have the right to intercede in their lives on behalf of what turns out to be the satanic forces, because they're causing us to believe in other than Allah. And when we understand that the person who is seeking intervention, divine intervention, to get that person off the accusation or the claim that that individual has in fact gone beyond the bounds of the religion, so we can say, even though he might actually predict correct days of the week, that he really doesn't know, and to promote it externally without that certainty is in error. Anyway, the point is that those who seek to do intercession will do so only with individuals who their following considers to be, you know, a person of status and power. We're going to take a break here now before going into the different types of worship which will take place when intercession takes place, what things intercession can operate for, what circumstances we're looking at, really. We're looking at the various circumstances in which intercession can take place. So we'll see you, inshallah, after the break. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back from the break. Now, before the break, we were looking at general principle of intercession, where people believe that some individuals have the power to intercede on their behalf. That is, to get them into paradise, either because of the favor that's on them, they are special, or this favor from Allah that they are able to tap into to be able to get others paradise. So, reality again, that we mentioned before, is that this process of intercession only functions within the boundaries of what has been set by Allah. The people who are interceded for are those who Allah had already chose to go to paradise. They may have been in hell for a period of time, but Allah was going to let them out and put them in paradise anyway. So the Prophet, intervening in this circumstance, is intervening as a messenger of Allah, and other messengers will be given the right for intervention. He'll be given it at the end of time, when this world ends. This is where the intervention will be functional. So, in order for us to benefit from that intervention, we need to have done the right thing. It doesn't mean, because the Prophet ﷺ is able to intervene, it doesn't mean that we could be corrupt individuals doing corruption, but because we have a unique position relative to the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, or his clothing, or whatever, that this is going to have some kind of magical, miraculous effect and give us success, where the existing circumstance doesn't give us success. So, we have the verse from the Quran in which Allah expresses this concept very closely. He said, وَلَا يَشْفَعُونَ إِلَّا لِمَنِ ارْتَضَى. He can only intercede for him with whom Allah is pleased. Only one with whom Allah is pleased can be interceded for. Meaning Allah already chose and decided. that this person was going to benefit from intercession. He could have just done it himself, but he ennobled and elevated the status of some of his creatures, some of human beings, in order to give them the good feelings of being chosen, etc. But they're chosen to do what Allah has already decided for them to do. They're not choosing to do something which can go against that, meaning that Allah allows the intervention of an individual to get his lunch from some other source where he had forgotten to bring money for his lunch, for example. So the head of the company or the head of the section, whatever, gives him the okay to go and have lunch, can benefit without having the money. So he has interceded on his behalf. But of course, records are kept and this money is to be paid back. We do have some charitable causes in which people give, and there's not a set amount, general idea of what people need to give. But in the end, it is we who go back and edit that presentation. So what we find, you know, after Allah has said that they cannot intercede except for him with whom Allah is pleased. So what they did then was to give special powers to either objects of the Prophet, like his hair, etc., clothing, etc. So that becomes the symbol by which is sought intercession from, will seem powerful enough to be able to do it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given permission to some prophets, angels, righteous people, etc. And he is the one who designated, he is the one who identifies what crime, what error the person has made, which put them in this precarious position. Then he will be able to intercede. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ will be able to intercede for such people because Allah has already decided that they would be interceded for. But he cannot, the Prophet ﷺ cannot intercede for somebody who Allah has decided there will be no intercession. So it's not a free-for-all where a person who fulfills certain steps can come and do anything they want. So the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he will be able to intervene or intercede for those who Allah has permitted the intercession. The term wasila is used to refer to intercession. The other term, tawassul, is the more commonly used one in Arabic. But wasila is a commonly used, it's an Arabic term again, used for intercession. And Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is referred to in that way as a wasila, or like a means, a way to get to something else. However, Jabir ibn Abdullah, one of the companions of the Prophet, had said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever after listening to the adhan says, Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'wati tamma wa salatu al-qa'ima ati Muhammadin al-wasila wal-fadila wa ba'athu maqaman mahmudan alladhi wa'adta. O Allah, Lord of this perfect call and the established prayer, grant Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the means, that's the wasila, and the moral excellence, and send him to a praised station which you promised him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then went on to say, my intercession will be permitted for him on the day of resurrection. So the term wasila, as we said, actually is explained in another hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, authentic hadith, in which he said, it is a rank in paradise fitting for only one of Allah's servants, and I hope that I may be just that one. So it's not confirmed who would occupy that place. It's a special place. Now, intercession has a variety of different forms. From the first type, where the Prophet ﷺ intervenes on behalf of certain people whose scale of evil deeds have outweighed their good deeds. So Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is able, with the permission of Allah, to intervene in such cases. He's not in a position to intervene for somebody who Allah has decided is going to hell. This person is an evil person, etc. And Allah has decided he's going to hell, and then along comes the individual who has the power now to overstep what the Prophet ﷺ had approved, and he gives the okay to intervene for that person or for himself, whatever. But the point is, this is not an individual right. When we looked at the rights of the servants of Allah on Allah and the rights of Allah on the servants, it didn't include this principle at all. Jabir ibn Abdullah, he also narrated that the Messenger of Allah said, whoever after listening to the adhan says, Allahumma rabb hadhihi ad-da'wati al-tamma was-salati al-qa'ima, أعطي محمدا الوسيلة والفضيلة وبعثه مقاما محمودا الذي وعدته. O Allah, Lord of this perfect call and of the and established the prayer, grant Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم the means and moral excellence, and send him to a protected station which you promised him. An intercession will be permitted for him on the day of resurrection. So it's not just a straightforward thing. Anybody can just step in and intercede like that. You know, some of the sheikhs, etc., you know, who have founded schools of dhikr, etc., and people idolize them and follow them. These are the people who, in general, end up making the claim that they could replace Allah. They could replace Allah in that they know how to run the world, and it's just a matter of being in a position physically, and we will be able to do so again. With that, we're coming to an end of this episode, and we hope to see you again in future episodes of The Best of Tawheed.
Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more.
Islamic Online University, changing the nation through education. Register now and get started. Visit www.iou.edu.gm for more details.